Oh, you better shape up, cause I need a man, I need a man, and my heart is set on Bill. You better shape up, if you're gonna understand, you understand, that to my heart you must be real. He's the real deal, Bill, oh yeah, what the fuck am I singing? Sons win, baby, that's it, all right, Matthew, fucking cut me off. Unmute yourself, you son of a bitch. Please.
Bravo, Matthew. Bravo. I had a little bit of backup vocals to that, too, the whole time. I was muted and I stopped my camera.
Oh, way my to hell. Panic.
What do I do? I'm on mute. Click every button.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Suns clicked every button tonight or today. We're going to be doing that all pod. But every button today as they played the Minnesota Timberwolves in game number 82, a game and a day that needed a lot of things to go exactly the way that they should for the Phoenix Suns to be the sixth seed and not the seventh seed, for the Phoenix Suns to play the Minnesota Timberwolves instead of a seventh seed matchup against somebody who would ultimately be the Los Angeles Lakers, who beat the Suns three out of five times this season. So a lot of different stars had to align. The Pelicans had to lose to the Lakers. The Denver Nuggets had to beat the Memphis Grizzlies. The Oklahoma City Thunder had to beat the Dallas Mavericks. And obviously the Suns had to take care of business and everything aligned up. This is one of those days where if you were to take a four game parlay and bet on that exact scenario, it wouldn't have happened because it never happens the way that you want it to. And it actually happened the way that we wanted it to. The Phoenix Suns win, so do the Lakers, the Nuggets, and the Thunder. So the Suns will ultimately be the sixth seed playing against the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that they swept this season. So initial thoughts on that, Matthew?
I think it's exciting, but then once it settles in and you're like, okay, it is the playoffs still, you're a bit nervous again going to the playoffs, even though you did sweep this team. It's kind of scary too, just because you just sweep them. So it's like the revenge and how disgusted that Timberwolves team looked. But it's like, yeah, it's a matchup John wanted. It's a matchup a lot of you guys wanted. So you guys got everything you wanted. I'm very happy for everybody.
There
and
you
myself
go.
And the Suns at their back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the most important thing, obviously, is knowing that this Suns team is going to be the sixth seed. That we don't have to look forward to Tuesday and playing the Lakers or any other team, knowing that you lose two and you're out. And to see the way that the Suns performed tonight, which we'll talk about aplenty here on the Suns Jam Session podcast, it's exciting to know that they're playing the way that they are entering this portion of the season, the new season that begins for the Phoenix Suns. And I think that it's important to understand that regardless of who the matchup is going to be, as Matthew mentioned, it's going to be tough. Minnesota lost three games to the Suns and just lost in a pretty embarrassing fashion. I mean, the Suns led by double digits for 45 minutes of the game, essentially, out of 48 minutes. It was pretty close to that. I mean, they kind of took it to them. This is a team that has quality players, that has pride. It's not just going to let the Suns do whatever they want. They will be fierce and ready to fight when they play against the Suns at home, seeing as they have home court advantage for games one and game two. So plenty to dissect about this game and the upcoming matchups and the history around the playoffs and what it means to be the number six seed. But again, thank you if you're joining us live or watching or listening later to the Suns Jam Session podcast. Truly appreciate it. My name is John Voida, managing editor of Bright Side of the Sun. He's Matthew Lissy. Intro yourself. Say something cool about you. Be like, really good.
Oh, my name is Matthew Lissy. Yeah, I don't eat corn at all. So
yes,
and I go to Starbucks.
Very important. Starbucks. Goes to the wrong Starbucks, but does like some ice cream from time to time. Make sure you follow us at Darth Voida and at Suns Jam and at Matthew Lissy if you like to follow along. And another thing, thank you to everybody who joined us during the playback that we were doing on the Bright Side of the Sun channel. Seth Logan Hopkins, who's always in the chat, actually says, by the way, you guys got to check out playback if you haven't. Metal Mike, Go, John Tran, etc. Good time. A lot of jamsters are in there. We're having some fun conversations. If you're watching the game anyway, why not hanging out with some people that you like to hang out with? Hopefully we can be those people. You can see me eat wings. You can see Matthew. You can hear Matthew talk about whether he should get a quality chair or a beanbag, things of that nature. So it was a great game to watch by the Phoenix Suns. And we're going to talk about that and more. So pop them if you got them, Suns fans. I've already popped mine, so there's no sound. But let's get right into it. Suns win 125-106 in Minnesota to finalize their 2023-2024 regular season. They end the regular season 48-33 and in the sixth seed, and they will face the 56-25 Minnesota Timberwolves, who were 30-10 at home this season. But they lost one game at home to the Suns. Suns played them three times, played them twice here in Phoenix, one in Minneapolis, which brings me to my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, I got to ask, are the Suns right now being the best versions of themselves at the best time of year?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what they wanted. I think the Suns knew exactly what they had in their back pocket this season. I'm just joking. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they knew exactly what they had, and they just had to really take their foot off the pedal there for a little bit. We saw three great games in a row where they handled teams, finished them off like they did today, where it gets a little bit boring and stale in the fourth quarter, but you get the victory. I think they knew they had that. Obviously, it's a good matchup with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but the Suns are back, man, at the right time, and we're all back as fans. I think last game with Bradley Beal in the post game, really going off and saying, I'm ready. I want that ring. That got us all pumped. They followed up with a great win today and a perfect ending to where, you know, you get the matchup you want in the first seed. So, and I mean, in the first playoff round. So this is perfect way to end it. And 82 games is already over. And like, what the hell just happened? So, but let's get the playoffs started, dude. Cause I don't know what the hell that was.
Amen. And I'll tell you this, you know, you look at the way that the last three games went. The Clippers game was a Clippers team in which they were playing with their food, right? Where they had none of their stars playing, and the Suns made it difficult and had to have a really good last half of the fourth quarter to win. The Sacramento Kings game, in which they're down both Huerter and Monk, and the Suns miraculously pull that one out, and then they go out and they beat the Wolves 125-106. Is this their best basketball of the season? I don't know. But I will say this. You go back 10 games ago, and we all sat around and go, shit, the Suns have the hardest remaining schedule in the NBA and the hardest remaining schedule since 2016 for the last 10 games of the season. That was the Memphis Grizzlies in 2016. That Memphis Grizzlies team went 1-9 in their last 10. The Suns went 7-3. So holistically, if you look at it as you know, not actually individual games, because again, that Clippers game was somewhat embarrassing. That Kings game was nothing but frustrating. But 7-3 in your last 10 against the level of competition that they were playing, to see a spark that we saw in Bradley Beal, which we'll talk about here very momentarily, it might be the best basketball entering the best time of the season. And now you have potentially of the three options that were available. Again, the Minnesota Timberwolves are a team that won 56 games. Okay, that's four shy of 60 games this season. This is not a bad basketball team. But of the three options that were available, I feel that this was the best option for the Suns for a multitude of reasons. For matchup reasons, for talent reasons, for experience reasons, for head-to-head results reasons. For all of the above, this is who I wanted to play. And now we get what we want. Now we get what I want. Matthew wanted the Thunder. Now we get what I want. It's time to see if this is actually the right opponent. And this is going to be the right situation for the Suns to get through that first round and ultimately start to be on the path that could potentially lead them to a championship.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing we had to really visit today with the playing against the Wolves was Rudy Gobert. And, you know, his little stretch of and ones there, him getting the getting the Wolves back into the game. That was quite interesting to see. That was really the only push they had. to see the Suns actually come out tonight too in the fourth quarter and just the Wolves really gave it their all defensively to put a final stop on the Suns to try to get back into the game offensively. But the Suns had their best counterpunch and they actually came out strong, hit some tough shots. So you see that against this team that's really known as a really great defensive team. So that gives you a lot of hope in the playoffs too, because you want to make sure you can play against a team like this that can be physical, who did get calls in the second half going their way, and you still pulled out with a double-digit win. And I know the score is 125 to 106, but you had 2 minutes of garbage time. So this is a perfect example of what the Suns can do in the playoffs. It's a great matchup. And they kind of showed all their traits tonight and all the good ones, a few bad ones, but mostly it was probably one of the best games of the season to end it all.
It was. It really was. And I think that you saw a lot of the reasons why I wanted this team as our opponent in the first round come to fruition tonight. One of those reasons, as Ryan just mentioned in the chat, he goes, Suns provide matchup problems for the Wolves who can't keep up scoring. We do have a superior offense to the Wolves, and we can really make it happen against them in that on that side of the floor. The other thing is that inexperience. You know, again, I've talked about this before, but the Suns are a team that is laden with playoff experience. Obviously, Kevin Durant's, this can be his, what, 13th playoff season. You know, Devin Booker multiple times in a row. Bradley Beal doesn't have a ton, but he has enough, if you will. If you look on the other side of the court, this is a team that doesn't necessarily have a ton of playoff experience. Rudy Gobert has 54 total games. Mike Conley has 78 games. Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards combined have 27. That's only 14 more than SGA has on OKC. And you saw it tonight. What did you just say? Rudy Gobert was kind of the bane of the Suns' existence, especially in that third quarter, because they started to abuse the Suns on the interior. Yusuf Nurkic was in foul trouble. Drew Eubanks was getting in foul trouble. I mean, Thaddeus Young was out there. Rudy Gobert goes for 15 points on 4 of 5 shooting and 7 of 9 from the free throw line in that third quarter. But what killed the runs for the Wolves was the inexperience of those around him. Anthony Edwards was 0 of 3 in that quarter and 0 of 2 from beyond the arc. They got the Suns into foul trouble with like 8 minutes left in the quarter. And instead of Anthony Edwards attacking the interior, he's settling for pull-up three-pointers. That's the inexperience that can really hurt you come playoff time. Whereas SGA is somebody who's going to attack. Oh, we got you in foul trouble. I'm going to continue to attack because that's where I'm comfortable. Whereas Anthony Edwards, for some reason, was kind of taking his foot off the gas pedal. So for those reasons, I felt like this is a good matchup. Obviously, that's all a moot point once the games begin. And we know what it's like, right? Get ready for the postseason, Suns fans. When you win a game in the postseason, you feel like you're never going to lose again. When you lose a game in the postseason, you feel like you're never going to win again.
Yeah, before we get to Biscuits and the Bear really quick, I want to say that there was a tweet sent out by Bill Simmons today.
Oh.
Just now. Well, actually, he sent it an hour ago. It said, No, the Suns went up big early talking shit to Ant. Story developing. Then someone retweeted right after the game. It was Nurkic. He retweeted and said, developing your ass.
Nurkic replied?
Yeah.
Way to go, Nurk. Way to go, Nurk.
Everyone knows we're a big Bill Simmons fan, big Bill Simmons listener. So it's always great because we always give him shit, and I'm sure he hears us. I know he does.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Obviously, for those of you who are Bill Simmons fans, you know kind of the conversations that he's had around the Phoenix Suns throughout the seasons. If you're not, we're here to inform you. Bill Simmons, if you don't know, he runs the Ringer podcast network. He worked for ESPN, wrote Page Two. Had Grantland. I mean, somebody that I've been reading for 20 something years, and I've been listening to his podcast for at least 8. I mean, I don't miss a pod. I don't always finish them, especially when they go on topics I don't give two shits about. But anytime that he's talked about the Phoenix Suns this season, it's been very dismissive. And I've talked about it here on the podcast before. They've talked about, like, you know, the top 80 guys that you can't trade, and they get down to Booker. And, you know, he's like number 11, and he goes on and on and on. He goes number 10, Devin Booker, number 9, Anthony Edwards. So, I mean, he doesn't even talk about Booker for 2 sentences. He's already on to the next guy. Whenever they talk about, and it's on Sunday nights, which will be coming out later tonight, him and Russillo, Ryan Russillo, who used to, you know, work for ESPN and works for the Ringer Podcast Network and has his own podcast. Whenever they talk basketball, which is every Sunday night, and they get to the Phoenix Suns, Russillo's got good thoughts and ideas around who the Suns are, right? He's like, hey, I just don't know who this team is. And neither do we, right? Like the schizophrenic Suns, we don't know truly who they are, but they're also a scary team. And whenever he kind of comes up with a good overall summation of who the Suns are and some weaknesses and some strengths, and then kind of kicks it back to Bill, Bill just goes, yeah, but you know, like I just don't trust Nurkic, and I haven't. Or when they got Royce O'Neal, I was like, yeah, I just don't like that guy. And then he just goes on, and then somehow it turns into a Tatum Booker thing or something. So I mean, there's never any time that he gives to him. And again, if somebody listens and reads and follows his content, it's frustrating because it's like, hey man, like I listen to you talk about everybody else. Give the Suns a little bit of shine, if you will, or you know, talk down about him. I don't just give us some content, but don't just be so passive. It's been a very passive take. And so that's why that tweet from Nurkic is even better, because again, Anthony Edwards is someone who Bill Simmons is, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over, is drooling every time he talks about. And the moment he had a chance to kind of talk about Anthony Edwards, and then the guy who he's very passive on, he comes back and retweets him that, you know, he's developing his ass. I just think that's A-plus content in the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, it's the best. You want Nurk on Twitter talking shit. You want KD even yesterday talking shit about a lot of people and kind of going back and forth with a bunch of different people, Suns fans on Twitter, and just saying, like, we're still here. We're still here, and we're still supporting each other. We're still a team that, you know, is playing, and we're on your team. Like, there's a thing there where it's like we're kind of bashing our players there on Twitter. It's like, I'm on your team, dude. So it's a weird thing on Twitter, but it's always fun to see when Bill Simmons does say something about the Suns, it is retweeted or gone after, because he doesn't watch the Suns. He doesn't. The reason
he doesn't.
Yeah, the reason you say, like, Ryan Russillo's, he's so good at, you know, his rebuttal with
he watches Bill everything Simmons,
because he watches it. He knows the team. He was really up there with Ayton. He knew all that shit. He's like, I'm done with Ayton last year. This year, he obviously knows it's schizophrenic, but the one thing that kind of answers the question about, like, is if the Suns are that team or not, it's kind of like Bradley Beal stepping up in a way, right? Like, he's the guy to kind of put them over the edge. And maybe Ryan Russillo, I bet you anything, he'll see, like, hey, like, Beal, if he looks like this, then yeah, there's a chance this team probably has a chance to go to the finals.
And I think that that's a great place to start as we talk about this game right here.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley. Boom,
boom. Again, the real deal, Bradley Beal, shows up, shows out for the Suns. 14 of 21 shooting, 6 of 6 from beyond the arc. He also had 6 rebounds. He also had 5 assists. Leads the Suns in scoring with 36 points tonight. And has been somebody who, again, we've talked about it before, his level of give a shit has been absolutely spectacular. Obviously, the post-game interview with Amanda Flugrad last game, the one this game, where all of his teammates come up and are, you know, row, 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 this a dog right here, pouring water on him. And it's the ancillary teammates. It's Damian Lee. It's Josh Okogie. It's Royce O'Neal. I mean, these are the guys who are following him in the locker room. These are the guys who are supporting him after a big game, okay? I'm not saying anything negative about Kevin Durant or Devin Booker right here. But these are the guys who are drawn to Bradley Beal and the way that he's leading this team. You want a leader? You saw your leader tonight in the biggest game that the Suns had this season, and with an opportunity to lock up a 6 seed, to lock up a week of rest, to lock up playing against an opponent that is favorable. The heart and soul of this team is Bradley Beal, and he showed it tonight, and you could see it by the way that the players responded around him.
Yeah, Seth Logan Hopkins is a perfect. Beal being CP and J, this is a small sample size, but you did see, like you said, in the post game where you couldn't really, I feel like, the last post game, the last game, how can you do that one? It was be tonight where, or today, where the players come in and do that shit like OKC does, where they kind of watch SGA in post game and they're just like just sitting there like, oh my god, what's he gonna say next? That's fun to see, because you can tell, like, Bradley Beal, he's a guy you can probably fuck around with and he doesn't care, right? He's obviously, if you can do that post game, pour water in his head, he seems pissed, that's a guy that you can actually fuck around with and also you know, see as a leader out there on the court. And the way he played tonight, last game, the biggest thing with him was really like finishing around the rim. The way he got by Gobert a couple times tonight and finished almost with ease with the left hand and right hand, that was awesome. That was huge because that was the one big takeaway for me this season. Him finishing around the rim was very difficult. He has like the lowest percentage of his career. So if he can get that and be that quick to get to the rim, that's going to be unstoppable. Obviously, we have KD and Booker on the perimeter. But I just think that you have a different feel now. And it just took the two games, really, with him to come out and be this way. And it's really the last 2 minutes or 3 minutes of the last game in this game. So it's a very small sample size. But we'll see when things get tough, who's going to really lead this team. And if Beal can take the ball and be that guy still. And I think he can be, but we'll see. It's the playoffs, so it's different.
It is. But one of the things in a developing narrative heading into this postseason matchup against the Wolves is how Bradley Beal and Anthony Edwards were interacting on the court during play. Bradley Beal was hell-bent and determined to make things tough for Anthony Edwards, guarding him tenaciously, talking to him, chirping at him. They both got technical fouls as Bradley Beal continued a conversation after it went to a TV timeout. Bradley Beal got called for a foul, and when it was time for Anthony Edwards to shoot, he was kind of nonchalantly walking across the lane, playing a little bit of those mental games, giving us some of that CP3, right? Some of that little fuck you, if you will, that CP3 used to do when he played here in Phoenix. And Brad was doing that, and knowing that this is going to be a matchup that we're going to have a front row seat to experience in this upcoming first round is an interesting story and plot line. Is how do those two match up? Because we know that Anthony Edwards gets really hyped up to play against Devin Booker, but Bradley Beal's the one who was guarding him and making his life absolute hell. And I thought it was great to see that. And again, it's just on the court because they showed them coming out after halftime, kind of joking with each other. You know, they know that it's just competitive banter and everybody's essentially all friends. But on the court, in between the lines, there is an aggressiveness and a dog and the grit that I've talked about this so desperately needed from this team all season long, and it's personified by Bradley Beal.
Yeah, he's been incredible, man.
What's his middle name?
Is it Edwards?
Nope.
Oh, that'd be funny.
What? It's Emmanuel. Bradley Emmanuel Beal. Let's talk about Devin Armani Booker.
Big Dick Booker.
Devin Booker tonight goes out playing against Anthony Edwards. As I mentioned, somebody that likes to come out and beat him, or tried to beat him, if you will, goes for a total of 23 points on 6 of 16 shooting, including 3 of 8 from deep, 7 assists, 3 personal fouls, 1 steal, 4 rebounds. Not the most impressive Devin Booker game, but some very tough shot making. In all honesty, he did shoot the most free throws for the Suns, going 8 of 10 from the free throw line. Probably could have lived there a little bit more often. I feel a lot of things weren't necessarily being called for Devin Booker. But he's 11-1 now in his career against Anthony Edwards. So for as much as Anthony Edwards gets up to play Booker, Booker's 11-1 against him. That's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, like you said, the free throws is what's really, really impressive, because the way these games are being called now, you're not getting the line, but he's been more consistent. Maybe he'll pick one quarter or two to really get to the free throw line, but a lot of it is luck. A lot of it is what the refs want to call, but he's been more consistent as of late. Booker's play, though, after 82 games, it's like the way he played tonight was great because there's a lot of movement, too, from him. I mean, basically everyone's moving, but he kept moving. His defense was pretty well, played pretty well tonight. I also think that the way he is developing the season to end at 82 games, it's kind of one of those things where it's like you see Anthony Edwards as a first team, second team guy, maybe a third team guy, and then you have Booker, who, like you said, is 11-1 against him. Like, it's kind of hard to even say, like, would you take Booker over him? Would you take Anthony Edwards over him? Because I was scared of Anthony Edwards entering these playoffs. Mm-hmm. But then now I'm just like, am I more scared of, if I were the opposing team, am I more scared of a Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards? So obviously Booker, with the way Beal's playing, is more scary. But I think Book has really gotten that kind of fun and joy back into the game. I know that's cheesy to say, but it definitely, you see his smile the last few games, the end of game, last game, today, smiling, having fun out there. That is awesome for me to see, because I love seeing that shit. But obviously when you're making the shots he was making, like that one crazy one in the first quarter, it wasn't the second quarter, he's like falling on his butt. That's cool to see, because you want to see him having fun out there with his team.
Yeah, and you know, again, the joy that we've been waiting to see from this team, fuck, all season long, you're starting to feel it a little bit. And it's again, it starts with Bradley Beal, but Devin Booker is definitely somebody who personifies a good time out there and smiling, laughing. And obviously, when you go out and you play in the manner that you do or you did today, and you take care of business the way that the Suns did, it's obviously going to make it a little bit more digestible, and you know, makes us feel like we were all chilling today. I mean, this is definitely could have been like a laundry game. In fact, I had laundry; I just didn't fold it because I was on Playback TV with all my fellow jamsters. What? I hang it up. I fold it. I do all kinds
of stuff.
I throw
it in a basket usually. I hang up the good stuff. But oh, really quick too, before we move on, Cameron Duncan has said Holmberg from Holmberg's Market Decision says trade Booker, but then also heard, was it Bickley or someone was saying on
the Bickley Blast, yeah,
about Booker wanting out or something. Not that I'm wanting out, but I didn't hear it, but there was like thing, like I'm like, that kind of sucks. I don't want to hear that because I joke around about trading Booker to win a title. Like I wouldn't care. Obviously I don't want to trade him, but I hate hearing this shit like from other outside sources that might
be
leaked on the inside. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's some of that fodder at the end of every season that occurs. And when, you know, again, the Suns are playing the way that they are and they are not, you know, dominating competition like they ended up doing today. I really think that it's just kind of it's outside noise. And it's not something that I really pay attention to at this point. I think that there's a time and a place for it. And right now is neither the time nor place. It's the time or place for cohesiveness, not divisiveness. And if that's what Bickley's doing, then shame on him for doing that clickbait shit. Like, you got to be better than that, Bick. You know that. So, but again, you know, kind of putting a bow on the Devin Booker conversation, he's going to have to be big in this postseason series against the Wolves. We know that. And we know that he can be that because he's somebody who has done that in his career. Outside of elimination games, he's been an absolute buzzsaw in the postseason. He steps up to the bright lights, he performs well. And, but with that three-headed monster, and we saw it plenty tonight, it's a lot for even the best defense in the league in Minnesota to handle. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they respond and how they try to guard the big three, because he's the one who can really cook you if Bradley Beal's doing what he's doing. And I don't expect Bradley Beal to go out and score 36 points like he did tonight. There's only two other games this season in which Bradley Beal had more points. He had 43 against the Washington Wizards, and he had 37 against the Los Angeles Lakers, both on the road. So tonight on the road as well, but 36 points. I don't expect that every night from Bradley Beal, but if he can penetrate and really get them to collapse, because we saw it. I mean, when Minnesota can really clench down and play some really good defense and close out and switch and pick up the rotations appropriately. Like, they're a really good defensive team for a reason. They, as you mentioned at the front end of this pod, they hunker down at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They're like, okay, this is our one last chance to really try to lock up the Suns and create some offense and get back in this game. The Suns survived it. But it's going to have to come down to both ends of the floor, obviously, for Phoenix. And Devin Booker's going to have to be a key cog in that. And I really believe that going into this series.
Yeah, I definitely believe that too. And you said even like the difficult shot making and stuff, like Grayson Allen had that. But I think that it's a lot of these guys stepping up at the right time. I think that what Grayson Allen did with making those big shots in the fourth quarter, like you have to have that from our big three, obviously. But to get it from like other dudes to step up when a team is throwing their best defense at you, like that's almost unstoppable. It's like, okay, well, we can't stop any of these dudes. So that's scary for the opposing team for sure.
Oh, of course. Of course. So a couple things I want to get to real quick. Biscuits and the Bear in the chat. $19 donated in the super chat. Truly appreciate all regular season long, whatever the margin of victory was for the Phoenix Suns. Biscuits and the Bear donated that to the podcast. Thank you for being an elite jamster. If you'd like to become an elite jamster, just simply click the join button on our YouTube page to do so. Biscuits and the Bear says, what a way to end the regular season. Thank you so much for everything you both do, including tonight. The Suns won worth over 741 over their opponents. So that's $741 that Biscuits and the Bear donated to this podcast. Man, you are a fucking G. That is so amazing.
That is awesome.
Can't thank you enough. Says, can't wait for the series versus the Wolves. Let's go, son. So thank you. Thank you, Biscuits and the Bear, for doing that and for being somebody who consistently has just been there and donating to the pod and supporting us, because, again, it allows us an opportunity to continue to do what we do. Another thing I want to talk about is Autograph. Autograph is a new sponsor of the and partner that we have partnered with. A partner that we partner with. Wow, that's really deep analysis I provided there. But it's a great application. If you don't have this app on your phone, I highly recommend it. In fact, we have a commercial talking about Autograph that I want to share with you. Oops.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Are you a Suns fan?
Yeah, I'm a Suns fan.
Well, have you heard of the Autograph app?
No, I haven't. Can you tell me more, Kermit?
Well, I found the best app for Suns fans. We all spend so much time consuming news and content about the Suns, and it often feels like we never get any love in return. It's like me and Miss Piggy. But Autograph's new app, Autograph Fandom Rewarded, is finally giving back to the fans, rewarding us for things we're probably already doing, like attending games and buying merch, scrolling Twitter, reading blogs, and listening to the Suns Jam Session podcast. So if you download the application, you can earn coins for all your fan actions, get ranked, level up, and unlock amazing offers and tickets, merch, and discounts, and more. The Suns community is now in the app, so you can start unlocking rewards right away. Hit the link below and use the code SUNSJAM to join. Check it out.
Well, that's unbelievable. I better head to the Autograph application and use promo code SUNSJAM right now.
Oh my God, dude. I think with Kermit sitting at the towel with the towel with your finger at the office.
You can see the finger.
Yeah. That was the best. That was like, okay. Can't even scroll because he has no fingers. Yeah, no,
you know, but again, the Autograph app, if you haven't checked it out, it's actually really cool. And one thing that they're going to be doing, Suns fans, if you sign up, game 3, which is going to be the first home game here in Phoenix, they're going to be giving away tickets for $24. So you got to sign up, use promo code SUNSJAM to be eligible for that. But I highly recommend doing it. $24 to go see the Suns play a playoff game. Fuck, dude, that's I'm going to have to sign up with like a couple burner accounts just to try to get some of those.
Yeah,
so,
you should, man.
You know, so, but yeah, again, thank you to Autograph. Thank you to Biscuits and the Bear, everybody, for our partnered partners. Truly, truly appreciate it. Let's talk about Kevin Durant.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
So 6 of 14 from the field for Kevin Durant in this one, 1 of 3 from beyond the arc, ended with 15 points, 4 total rebounds, 1 assist, 4 total turnovers of the Suns, 13 turnovers. Thoughts on Kevin Durant tonight?
Well, he struggles to make a move against a team like this that's very physical. Like anytime he wants to turn around, head to the rim, or just like turn around and, you know, throw up a shot, it's very very, very, very difficult for this guy. Driving to the rim, finishing at the rim tonight was very hard. Very, very hard. It was
very hard.
It was a tough game, but I will say that there was one shot that was nice over on playback where we're talking about his quick release on one of his shots. So it seems like in a game like this, you kind of want to see him just already be in the spots and already ready to go with the pass, with a great lead pass, maybe to the rim or something like that. But it's not a really, I feel like, a game where he can kind of take control and move the ball himself. Obviously I've never been a big proponent of that this season with him doing that, but I don't know, it was a difficult thing, but I think him kind of maneuvering around screens, if he can move off ball more, I would like to see that. But it was a difficult game to watch, right, John?
It was for him because of the way that they were being allowed to defend him, let me put it that way. The Minnesota Timberwolves were extremely physical with Kevin Durant, and we know that the best way to negate the effectiveness of Kevin Durant is to be physical with him, to push him just slightly off of his spots, to put your elbow into his rib cage and do the little things in basketball from a physicality standpoint that can equate to big things, but like taking somebody like him out of his rhythm. And we, as you mentioned on playback, there was a play where, you know, he's sitting there, he's on 19 feet out, they throw him the ball and he just turns and shoots. He didn't allow the defenders to get into him and to start to push him around a little bit when he tried to run any isolation basketball. So, you know that that's how they're going to defend him. And that's, it was a pick your poison for them. They're like, listen, we're going to try to do everything we can to stop KD from cooking us. So somebody else is going to have to step up. Obviously, that was Bradley Beal. That was Devin Booker, some Grayson Allen. I mean, a total team effort and the way that the defense played, which is something that we'll get to here momentarily. Now, obviously, this is going to be a big, big series. And you wonder if this game is a precursor to how Minnesota is going to attempt to defend Kevin Durant. That if they're going to try to play him physical and force everyone else to beat him, or are they going to slack off at times and Kevin Durant can cook? You know, looking at Kevin Durant's games prior to tonight, he had played in, you know, obviously the two games, and he averaged 26.5 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists against Minnesota. So there's a reason why they were purposefully trying to defend him physically. It's because in the two prior games that they played against him, he cooked him. In fact, his best plus minus this entire season against any team was against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Entering tonight, he was a plus 35. Offensive rating of 151 in two games. In 70 minutes played, he had an offensive rating of 151 against the Timberwolves. So there's definitely, you know, people going, you know, this is, you know, if you're the coaching staff, these people are sitting around going, we got to stop this guy from cooking. So it didn't work. You know, they tried that, didn't work. So it's going to be interesting to see how, when you get into these matchups, how is this going to play out in real time? Is Kevin Durant going to be somebody who they're going to try to take out of it, or is he going to cook at certain times? You know, so what do you think?
You know what? I'm going to go with this. Andrew Dang says, KD's saving energy for the playoffs because of age. I'll go with that for this game. Maybe, okay. Maybe more of that, all right?
Okay. I mean, if that's what needs to happen, then that's what needs to happen. But again, this is a game where I don't sit there and fault Kevin Durant, even for the 4 turnovers. I didn't really feel there was any discombobulation or anything wrong with this game. He was simply being pushed around, and they were focusing their defensive efforts on him, and the rest of the team took advantage, like this guy.
Hi, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Oh, Grayson Allen, our fuck shit up guy.
It's good to have Grayson Allen back. Obviously, yeah. Frank Vogel sat him a couple games ago because of his lack of efficient shooting. And by efficient, I mean at all. Last game against Sacramento, 6 of 12 from the field, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc for 19 points. Tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves, Grayson Allen goes 8 of 11 from the field, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. He also adds 6 rebounds, has 20 total points, a couple steals in there. Really took advantage of the fact that the Suns' big three was being aggressively defended, and he's going to be the guy who's going to have to step up. He, in my opinion, is the early X factor as we go into this series against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, he kind of fell off there a little bit this year, late in the year, but this game was huge. And like I said earlier in the game, and even on playback, repeating myself 3 times now, but those big shots he took in the fourth, man, against a heavy defense of the 3, that was like a push shot. I thought it was maybe a shot clock violation almost, but he pushed it off, got that one to go in. I think it was the assist from Beal. Mm-hmm. Great start to the fourth, man. He's really just carried them over. You have to have that guy in between. He was that tonight. So the whole thing of like benching him, you know, having him come off the bench to score just obviously was not a look that Vogel wants to go with probably in the playoffs. So he's going to stay in there and just kill teams with this because he's so in sync with everybody, where his off-ball movement, everything he was doing, running around screens, everyone's moving, like he's giving space to anybody in the corner to setting up for a 3, whether it's Beal or Nurk maybe that one time. Like he's moving off, giving guys some room. So he's doing a great job off-ball. There's so many times tonight, I feel like, or today, where he gave Book or whoever was driving the ball an opportunity to find him out in the 3-point line and moving around, making sure that they had a nice, easy little alleyway to him. So that is perfect ball from him tonight. It's a great game to see from him. And Andrew Tang said his defense looks to get better, a lot better each game. And honestly, there were times tonight when Anthony Edwards had the ball against him on the top of the key, and I'm like, how are you not taking Grayson Allen? But he held his own. Unless it was a mental thing from Anthony Edwards, Grayson Allen kind of stepped up in that way defensively.
Yeah, and those the defensive rotations he had on the backside, I mean, he clogged the lane, which I thought was great on a few plays too, where he'd come over weak side. And if somebody was beat, like Naz Reid would beat Eubanks, who was having a hard time guarding anybody, he'd just kind of be there. And so it would stop Naz Reid from going all the way to the rim. Cause if he wanted to, he'd have to go through Grayson Allen, who would draw the charge. So his defensive positioning was key. The defense overall from the Suns tonight was spectacular. I think they held Minnesota to 106, and Minnesota turned the ball over 24 times in this game, which led to 35 points for the Suns. 35 points off turnovers. So my question to you, Matthew, were the Phoenix Suns playing against the Phoenix Suns tonight?
Yes, and you love to see it. I love it. I love when the other team looks like the Suns. It's funny always looking at the box score in the first quarter, in the at halftime, like, oh, that was Suns did that last game. It's nice to have it in reverse.
It is very nice to have it in reverse and see another team just, and it happened a ton, especially like you said, in that first quarter, the Suns doubled up the Timberwolves. It was 44 to 21. The Timberwolves had 11 turnovers in the first, 17 points off turnovers for the Suns. So their 22-point lead, 17 of those came of the variety of points off turnovers. It's just nice to have it not be the Suns, if you will. And when you go to the final amount of shots taken, the Suns attempted 86 field goals in this game. The Timberwolves attempted 70. And that's one thing I got to look up, and I'll do it after this podcast, is when the Suns shoot more attempts than the opposition, what's their record this season? Because I'd love to know that. Because of the turnovers that they've had and been plagued with this entire season, generally, we don't shoot more than the opposition. Because if we do, you're pretty fucked, because we have a good shooting team. We have a team that shot 54.65% from the field in this game. A team that shot 55.2% from beyond the arc, going 16 of 29 from deep. If we get up shots, we will beat you. It's when we beat ourselves that's just so frustrating, so frustrating. So amazing defense. Some of them were live ball turnovers. Obviously, when you score 35 points off of turnovers, there's a lot of live ball turnovers. And essentially, it wasn't somebody who it wasn't them doing it to themselves. The Suns were imposing their will.
Yeah, and it kind of sucks because they had such a good flow, and I feel like even in the second half, like the refs kind of like held them back a little bit with great defensive play that should have led to more turnovers, should have led to more points off turnovers. But also, like, the biggest thing for me that I saw was the Suns just pushing the pace even on the rebounds, like the defensive rebounds, like giving up the book, and him and Book and Beal just running the sideline, just getting straight down to the three-point line as quick as they can, finding a cut. Like, that was the biggest thing to me, because you haven't really seen that a whole lot. And then, like, in the second half, things kind of slowed down, but guys continue to move too off ball. So, yeah, man, I just think, where do we go from here?
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird! It's a plane!
Boom, boom. Bol Bol. So Bol Bol in this game gets some playing time again. Not much of it. 7 minutes and 33 seconds. 2 of 3 from the field. Couple rebounds. 4 total points. Couple turnovers. -5 out there. But I guess the question I have for you, Matthew, is where is Bol Bol's place in these Suns rotations as we head to the postseason? What do you see? What do you want? And what do you think will happen?
You know, I think this is what's going to happen. I think the reason he really played, though, today, and it's nice that he was ready. Cameron Duncan does say in the chat, Seth EG was out with a migraine. So I know Frank Vogel before the game did say that you'll see Bol Bol because Eric Gordon might not get minutes. Mm-hmm. So that was the case. I think the most he's going to get is like what you saw today. And there were great minutes. I think there were fantastic minutes, and he was ready to go. So that's another big upgrade for him this season, taking the next step in a way where you're already ready to go. You're not going to feel sorry for yourself. You're going to come in and play like J.O. did and basically, what is it? And shit time, whatever it's called. Whatever. I can't think
Garbage
of
Garbage time.
Garbage time. There you go. The way that J.O. played then, and then that's the way Beal came in. I mean, Bol Bol came in because he just was ready to go, man. Had some good rebounds, some good defensive plays. Had some great shots, the reverse dunk. But I just think he's ready to go. And if he gets the 7 minutes, I'm okay with that. What do you think?
Yeah, and I agree. I think that Bol Bol's place on this team is a rotational player. Now, he's not going to go 15 to 20 minutes a night unless he's absolutely cooking. But for 7 minutes, right, or 8 minutes, like four in the first half, four in the second half, as somebody who can just change the pace, change the look of what the Suns are bringing to you, both on offense and defense, that's unbelievably valuable. And if he can go out there and give you 4 points, 4 to 10 points, something like that, in that limited amount of time, while adding a wrinkle that you have to think and plan for and then visually see on the court, I think it's valuable. So I know that a lot of what do people who like follow Bol Bol are like bowlaholics, whatever the bowlers out there want. They want him to play 25 minutes because of the effectiveness that we've seen him provide at times this season. I get your frustration because I do like seeing him on the court for those reasons, but I think especially as possessions and every possession is so important in the postseason, that the best way to utilize him is just in that capacity as a wrinkle to throw out there from time. Yeah, Bol Leavers. There you go. Thank you, Fabio. Perfect. In the chat. The Bol Leavers, you know, they believe that he should be playing 25 minutes. I believe that if you can get him 8 to 10 minutes and it's a solid wrinkle to throw at an opposing team, I think that that's exactly where he should live. And again, if he's playing well, you keep him out there. And I think that would be fantastic. So Drew Eubanks obviously looked rough out there, but Drew Eubanks is what we got. And I think that that's going to be probably one of the biggest matchups in this postseason series against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Nurk.
Delicious definition, make them boys go crazy.
Oh.
Nurk tonight only played 20 minutes. He was 3 of 4 from the field for 6 points. He had 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 5 steals, a career high in steals, 5 steals. He had the 4 personal fouls, and he had 3 in the first half, and then kind of came out in the third quarter, got his 4th one really quick. And that's going to be the central matchup that we're going to be watching in this upcoming series, is Rudy Gobert versus Nurk / Eubanks / Thaddeus Young, and how Frank Vogel can switch up the looks on Rudy Gobert and make sure that we have enough minutes and fouls to contain him and essentially play him off the court at times by doing some small ball 5 stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so. And it was nice for him to get in that foul trouble and then come back. I mean, 2 of those fouls were pretty bad. They were his fault.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with Gobert. But I think that Nurkic tonight, when he came back into the fourth with the rest of the starters to close things out, it was nice for him to come back in and you just see the defense or the difference automatically. The Eubanks minutes are going to be fucking hard to watch. You just see some Thad who looked pretty decent. Obviously, he can't hold his own too much against Gobert, who just kind of bossed him around under the rim and just dunked in his face. It just looked a lot worse. But yeah, I think Nurkic tonight just showed like he can be very versatile, obviously with the passing, but when called upon to come back in to close a game, he stepped up in a big way. I felt like it's just nice to have him there, man, leading the team in assists. I know we have our point guard situation with Beal looking better at it, like the last few games, looking handling the ball a lot better. But we all know that it's going to go through Nurk a lot of this postseason. So
it is, and I see, you know, like Renzo in the chat's like, Eubanks, no more, please, unwatchable.
Yeah.
You might not be wrong, but that's all we got. So it's going to happen. And we just have to accept that he's going to be out there. Thad Young's going to be out there as well, I feel. And again, because you want to throw different looks at not only Gobert, but, you know, his backups, because they don't have, you know, they're not a deep team at big. They have 2 big guys. They got Rudy Gobert and they got Karl Anthony Towns. But then it's like Naz Reid comes in, and Naz Reid, as well as the player as he's been all season and a great backup 5, you can play a little bit smaller against him because he's more athletic than he is big and strong. So, you know, it's going to be a key matchup for this team as we prepare for this postseason run. I was hanging out in Minnesota tonight, Matthew. Well, I wasn't. I sent a correspondent on behalf of the Suns Jam Session podcast. The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout. Why, hello there. Is that kitty litter behind me? This is awkward. Well, hello again. I was talking about the Autograph app earlier. My name is Kermit the Frog, and I was spying on them Timberwolf fans today in the subreddit. I felt naughty. So let's talk about what they were saying over there in Minnesota, shall we not? Or shall we, Matthew?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let me tell you the one of the first things that they said was, miss a fucking shot, Phoenix. Because the Suns came out and hit like their first 9 shots. I mean, that's how they started this game. Fuck you, Adam Silver. You absolutely pathetic waste of life. Like, why did they hate Adam Silver so much?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Because he looks like an alien? Is that a herpes on your lip, by the way, or no? I'm just joking. This.
I was eating some pork earlier, if you catch my drift. The fact that every game against the Suns has been a different disaster makes me nervous. First game was horrible defense. Second game, horrible offense. Now we have a turnover almost every possession. It's like when Cat comes back, the IQ goes down on the team by 100 points.
Yeah.
I hate sports. Fuck you, Adam Silver. You worthless piece of shit. I hope you burn alive. Again, why are they so mad at Adam Silver? Can one of the jamsters in the chat break that down for us?
I'll Google it, too. I gotta see what's going on here.
I mean, maybe it has something to do with the fact that the Suns gave a shit in this game because of the play-in. I don't fucking know. But here's another one. Our offense, dribble, dribble, pass, near turnover. Drive, fumble, miss. Suns offense, shot, make. Royce O'Neal is made out of tissue paper. Go bear a bitch. And then somebody responded to that and they said, shut the fuck up, beta.
Jeez.
Hot fuck, we're stupid. David Roddy is such an annoying bitch. Like, who gives a shit about David Roddy? And then, of course, there was Beal and Anthony Edwards getting into it. And somebody said, I mean, Beal is killing us. Hard to talk shit, Ant, when you're getting punked again. Cat is so stupid, bro. He's been doing the same shit for 9 years and still doesn't realize they call that shit every time. Trade Cat. Imagine off. A Game 7 situation with Cat out there. Laugh my fucking ass off. Cat's movement is just awkward. Dude lacks a couple basketball brain cell neurons. So they really did not like Cat. Grayson Allen absolutely beating the shit out of us. Hurts so damn bad. Beal can suck a fat one. Booker is a fucking pussy.
Jeez.
They should dish a few more shots into his dumbass punchable face. I hate Booker so much. He is such a bitch. Grayson Allen looks like a 50-year-old man who's had too much Botox. That's a new one. This is the worst fucking possible scenario. All I've wanted for this season is one playoff series win. We went from the number one seed to a decent chance of getting swept in the playoffs in record time. And that, ladies and jamsters, is the subreddit stakeout.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
One of the things, Kermit.
What? My ears on that, man. That was a lot of, whew.
A lot of what?
It's a lot of cursing. That was fucking brutal.
Oh man, it was. You should have seen it in their subreddit, dude. Aye. They were losing their damn minds. Damn. As well, they should.
It's brutal.
As well, they should. So. Let's talk a little jams.
Jam star of the game.
All right, jamsters, and reminder, subscribe, rate, and review. Let us know in the chat who your jam star of the game is. Matthew?
So, yeah, Beal. It should be Beal for sure. I almost said Grayson Allen, but I'm going to give it to Beal overall. Started and finished the game. Incredible game. Best game as a Sun.
What's crazy is in the last 5 games, Beal took 4 of your jam stars.
Shit.
And 3 for me. I gave 1 to KD. I mean, yeah, it's Bradley Beal. And I think that the Jamsters would probably definitely agree with us on that. David Ray says Bradley Beal's the jam star of the game. Bradley Beal easily from Crazy Luigi. Let's see here. Bradley Big Balls Beal from CL Oracle. So Beal, no question from Seth. Jam Stars Beal from Suns FIVA 83. Beal plus Allen plus Nurk D from Renzo. Cat has talent, but he has just a bit more heart than DA. Yeah, he just overacts to everything. So Beal's your jam star from Lee Marcus. Yeah, so it's definitely Bradley Beal. So we've talked a little bit about the upcoming matchup for the Phoenix Suns. I don't have the official schedule in front of me. Dwayne Rankin's probably.
I kept looking for it like on Twitter, but I haven't seen anything drop yet.
I assume it's going to be Friday or Saturday that we play. Let's see. Dwayne Rankin 4 minutes ago said the Suns will open postseason at Minnesota on Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see the time of that game. That might be a good watch party.
Yeah, I was going to say, because if it was Friday, maybe we could do Sunday. But
yeah, but
Saturday, you know, let's do a watch party, man.
Suns jam session stickers. So we'll most likely be doing it at Blue Agave in Scottsdale on Scottsdale Road in Mayo. So if you want to come by and hang out with us, watch a game, and then then you can just watch us do a podcast. We'll be up there. I'll double check that and make sure once we get the time and everything dialed in. But a couple other things as we prepare for this postseason run for the Suns.
You know what time it is.
Trivia time.
All right, Matthew, trivia time. And Jamsters, you can play along in the chat. Okay, the Suns are the sixth seed. How many times in NBA history has the sixth seed been to the finals? And how many times has the sixth seed won the finals?
They've been there twice and lost both.
Twice is correct. Losing both is incorrect.
Okay. I saw your tweet, though, with the two, so my bad.
Seth, real quick, he says, oh, wait, you do this in person? We do during the playoffs if it lines up. We do in-person watch parties. The only team to ever win an NBA title that was the number six seed was the 1995 Houston Rockets, a team that beat the Phoenix Suns in a Game 7 in the kiss of death from Mario Elie, that team. But two total teams have made it to the finals in the sixth seed position. So that's better than the seventh seed. The seventh seed is the only seed of the top eight seeds to never make an appearance in an NBA finals. Number one seed, 89 times has appeared, 51 times has won, 39 times for number two, yada, yada, whatever. Read my tweets. But I thought that was interesting. So Suns got to make it happen, man. I mean, step one is you got this Minnesota Timberwolves team. What we'll be doing this week is Tuesday, we're going to do our end of year Jamster Awards, our jammies, if you will. And that's a fun one because we hand out the awards for the year. And then we go back and we look at what our preseason jammies were. And I think that that's one of the most fun things is to sit and to see how wrong or right we were heading into this season. So make sure you tune in, what, like 8 o'clock, you think?
Yeah. 8 o'clock works.
8 o'clock on Tuesday, we'll be doing that. Thursday, after the games, all the play-in games end, I think it's Thursday, maybe it's Friday, when all the play-in games end, then we'll do our playoff preview. So definitely some great things to and here come the playoffs, Jamsters. So this is what we live for. We made it through 82 games. Let's go to the ones that fucking count. So, Matthew, anything else you want to add to this podcast before we pack it up, pack it in, let us begin?
It's been an incredible year, been a crazy year. Quite the experience as a Suns fan. No, I'm excited for the playoffs, man. I got that. I'm rejuvenated. I'm ready to go. I have that good spirit in me. I have a soul again. Yes. And I'm ready for some fucking playoffs. I'm ready for a watch party. I'm ready to drink some beers.
Yeah.
Get crazy. Everyone likes the drunk Lissy on the pod, so you might get one Saturday.
Just Matthew just laughing. Not that drunk.
Not like last pod. Like where I just could not. That was too much wine.
It was pretty funny though. Bottle. It was great that we had like three other people on because you're just
Yeah, as soon as Ozzy said they're going to come on, I'm like, all right, I'll have a few more glasses.
You're like, hell yeah, I'm going to get crunk. Yeah, I'm with you. You know, the season begins now, and it's been a hell of a journey to get here. It's been a crazy year, both watching the Suns and just being around the Suns this year. So thank you to everyone who's been along for the ride, not just this year, but previous years. This is your first time watching or your 596th time watching or listening. Truly appreciate it. If you get a chance, go to Apple Podcasts. Give us a five-star review. The best time to do so is right now, because everyone's looking at Suns content. And if you're out there, you know, pumping us up, it helps us. If you want to hang out with us on Playback TV, you know, keep an eye on our Twitter and we'll let you know when we're doing those things. And again, head to the Autograph app, use promo code SunsJam when you sign up, because that's another great place to get some rewards. And they're doing $24 tickets to game three, which will be sometime over a week from now. So you can read my writing at Bright Side of the Sun. My name is John Voida, managing editor over there. And you can follow me on Darth Voida. You can follow the show at Suns Jam. You can follow Matthew.
At Matthew Lissy.
Just don't follow us home, everybody.
Go home with family.